Very good. So first off, I promise I won't get into the debate on whether it's Isaac or Isaac. You'll definitely hear it both ways. I'll probably use Isaac in today's discussion. So thank you, everybody, for attending today. I think this is going to be a very interesting and informative workshop on a topic that obviously is very hot in the industry right now. So what I'd like to talk about is how we make ISAC real in Open RAN. It is a significant business platform shift. It's looking at the opportunity for operators to not only monetize communications within the network, but also to monetize environmental intelligence beyond connectivity. And it does have a major shift in network business models. And with that shift, there are trust and governance challenges that we'll see. Certainly, privacy, transparency, and regulations are all going to be critical factors in making ISAC scalable and making it real for deployment in Open RAN. Open RAN programmability does give us the operational of sensing through exposure controls and application models. And as mentioned, we are looking at 6G to have a native sensing function that will evolve from 5G advanced and Open RAN deployments that will emphasize deployability and trust by design. Next slide, please. So the shift from connectivity to intelligence, we are seeing the telecom networks evolving. We started with device connectivity, and now we're moving into providing real-time intelligence about the physical environment around those devices and within the network itself. ISAC is an enabling platform for this. It embeds the sensing into existing radio infrastructure and does enable multi-use sensing services with low incremental cost to the network. There are multi-vertical benefits. The sensing fabric does support diverse sectors, including smart cities, transportation, industrial safety, and public safety. And it has a huge business and societal impact. It does create recurring revenue and improves the ROI by offering environmental awareness and situational intelligence, something that networks do not do today. So what ISAC enables, and I'm not going to go into each of the different use cases that ISAC will enable. You'll hear a lot more about them through the day today in the various presentations. But looking at three concrete capabilities, first is the radio-based environmental sensing. It uses the waveforms, whether it be 5G or the future 6G, to detect, localize, and characterize the environmental objects and changes effectively. It has a lot of applications, as mentioned, both in smart cities and industry, whether it be traffic flow monitoring, hazard detection, industrial safety, or mobility enhancements well beyond vehicle line of sight. And this does offer for infrastructure reuse advantages. It does leverage existing radio sites and edge compute, reducing the cost compared to standard standalone radar networks. But with that, again, we need performance and governance. We need to focus on reliable detection and integration with workflows, and the governance is going to ensure scaling as well as social acceptance. So, as a business reality, ISAC is a platform, not a feature in itself, and we should consider it as a platform strategy. It should be pursued as a multi-vertical reuse of sensing infrastructure beyond a single network feature. And with that, we can monetize the sensing services. It can be viewed as operators' monetization of sensing as a service via subscription APIs, premium SLAs, and event-driven alert products. This will allow us to serve diverse market applications. As mentioned on the previous slide, it includes smart cities, automotive, enterprise, public safety, and digital twins with various sensing use cases. Oh, next slide, please. Yeah. And finally, well, back up one, sorry. Yeah. And finally, we're looking at outcome-based commercial success. We want to sell the insights and packaged outcomes with KPIs and trust-based governance that'll drive ISAC's commercial growth. So the deployability does going to require trust. There is a risk gradient and guardrails that need to be in place. The first is persistent over precision. Regulators are going to prioritize concerns about persistent tracking over mere data accuracy due to privacy and civil liberty risks. We also need to be concerned about purpose creep over accuracy. Data repurposing without consent does have the potential to raise regulator scrutiny. And we'll make sure that we demand strict purpose limitations and audits on the data. And finally, authority over capability. Regulators will focus on who controls and accesses data output rather than just system capabilities. So with that, we're looking at architecture guardrails. No persistent identity. Avoid creating or storing persistent identifiers to protect privacy. No decision authority. Provide advisory insights without automated decision making to address the due process. No behavioral inference. Avoid inferring behaviors or personal traits to mitigate algorithmic risks and maintain civil rights. And also technical enforcement of guardrails, enforce principles through architecture with technical controls, not just contracts or policies. So looking at the architecture shift, we're now seeing the RAN as a sensor and the edge as a brain. The RAN is going to be more of a sensing engine. It evolves from throughput focus to a sensing engine using waveforms and signals for observables. The edge of the network is going to be the computing brain. It's going to host fusion and inference pipelines, convert RF data into insights with confidence scores. And closed-loop network operations are going to inform network actions that optimize sensing and communication jointly for dynamic performance. But one thing we need to be aware of, ISAC's success isn't defined by the sensing capability alone. It's defined by delivering the right information in the right form to the customers and systems that act on it. And we need to start with the consumer. Who needs the data and who will act on it? And we need to deliver actionable data, the right data in the right format for real operational systems outside the MNO networks, and designed for the ecosystem. It must be shaped with end users, not in isolation. And as an example in that, you know, recently, you know, as of about 2 weeks ago, there was an article in the Arizona Republic that talked about how data that can't be used or acted on poses a risk. So on a major interstate between Phoenix and Tucson in Arizona, the Department of Transportation decided to put up a Doppler radar system to assist the National Weather Service to determine if there were dust storms in the area, which creates hazards on this particular interstate. Well, what they didn't do is figure out a way to get the data from this Doppler radar system that they deployed to the National Weather Service. They forgot about who the customer of the data was and didn't deliver that data. So ultimately, you had a Doppler radar system that was deployed that was not sending the data from that system to the National Weather Service, and thus it really didn't do its mission. So the agencies determined that the weather radar did not provide any value, and thus they decided to disband the radar and not have it as part of their network anymore. So this is just the risk that we need to avoid with ISAC. We need to understand who the end consumers are, be able to deliver the data in the right format to them so that they can use it. And that's understanding who the end customers and consumers of ISAC data are going to be. So the final takeaway in making ISAC real, again, it's a platform shift. We are transforming connectivity into environmental intelligence with trust by design and operational readiness. The deployability formula is start with low risk, high value use cases, validate with transparent testing, and then scale with mature governance. And standardized, secure, and interoperable ISAC data delivery frameworks bridging the gap between sensing and operational systems is going to be essential to enable a scalable multi-vendor integration and accelerate real-world adoption across critical government and commercial use cases. The regulatory guardrails, we need to minimize data persistence, enforce purpose limits, and clarify authority to meet regulatory priorities. And finally, Open RAN and 6G integration. Open interfaces and programmability platforms enable multi-vendor innovation aligned with 6G sensing evolution. Well, with that, I'll take any questions and allow us to get on with the extensive program that we have lined up for today.
Thank you, Brian. Any questions from the room?
Hey, Brian, Larson Harden. Just a question on when we look at the deployment of ISAC, yeah, there's certain USG use cases, but there's also the question of broader commercial use cases that would have companies such as AT&T being willing to deploy it nationwide. Have you thought much or have you some views on what those commercial use cases might be that would drive a broader deployment?
That's the million-dollar question that you've asked right there. And I think that's some of the questions we're still wrestling with are, you know, what are those commercial use cases? You know, certainly we've got the public safety use cases, whether it be local governments, local departments of transportation, or others, you know, that are very interested in the technology for safety aspects. And the environmental sensing, you know, as we've talked about, is another aspect, you know, getting into areas where, for example, the National Weather Service Doppler radar doesn't have visibility. As far as consumer use cases, you know, there are some that are described in some of the use case documents coming out of 3GPP. As far as our business models for that, you know, we're still in the process of evaluating those and trying to understand what makes sense and what ones will actually, you know, be something that the market will demand. But I think at this point, we haven't really fully gone through that since this is a new technology.